the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, has made him known to us. When you arrived this evening on your seat, there was a paper plate with a crayon attached to the back. In the first service, I called it a crown. See, I'm from Philadelphia, and that's the way we speak down there. But since I'm in Greenwich, Connecticut, I'll call it a crayon this evening. Do you have your paper plate? I want you to take your paper plate, and I want you to take the crayon off of the back of the plate because you're going to draw with it. This paper plate and this crayon are going to help us understand better the meaning of the incarnation. The word carne means flesh. Incarnation means in the flesh. The incarnation means that God became human flesh. That's what we're celebrating tonight on Christmas Eve. God's arrival into the world in a body of human flesh. God's arrival into the world the same way that we all arrive in the world through birth. But what is the significance? Why did he come? And what bearing does his coming have on my life 2 millennia later? Why is the incarnation of God cause for this 2,000-year-old celebration that we call Christmas? Hopefully, this paper plate and this crayon are going to help us understand it just a little better this evening. How many of you like party games? Miss Lila, I'm counting on you. How many of you like party games? We're going to play a party game this evening. We're going to draw a Christmas scene. I want you to take this paper plate, and I want you to put it on your head. Now, ladies, if you're worried about your hair, you can put it on your forehead. Gentlemen, some of you don't have a mat left to put it on, but that's all right. You can still play. Now, I want you to take that crayon, and while you're holding the plate on your head, I want you, don't look now, I want you to draw a line for a floor. Don't take the plate off your head. Keep it on your head, and I want you to draw a line for a floor. All right? You got your line going? All right, now I want you to draw a Christmas tree. No looking. Draw a Christmas tree. You can add some decorations to the tree if you like. Some people like tall and skinny trees. Some people like short and fat trees. Some people like heavily decorated trees. Some people like minimalist trees. But put a few decorations on there if you like. You got your tree going? All right, now I want you to draw a star on top of the tree. Okay, you got your star? Okay, now, next to the tree, I want you to draw a fireplace with a mantle. I wish I had a camera up here, because y'all look hilarious. All right, now, if you've got your fireplace and your mantle, I want you to draw a pretty Christmas stocking hanging from the mantle. All right, you got your stocking? One final thing. I want you to draw a present under your Christmas tree. Okay, you finished, Rembrandt? All right, take a look at your plate and see how you did. How's your picture look? We're going to auction these off at Christie's. All right, now, let's see who drew the best Christmas picture. We're gonna score the Christmas pictures. All right. So I want you to take a look at your picture. If your Christmas tree touches the floor, I want you to give yourself 2 points. All right? If it touches the floor, give yourself 2 points. If your stocking touches the mantle, give yourself 2 points. All right, if the star is above your tree, give yourself a point. All right, now here's the fun part. I want you to give yourself 1 point for every ornament that is touching your Christmas tree. Aha, see, I bet you wish you had decorated a little bit more heavily now. 1 point for every Christmas ornament that's on your tree. All right, now, give yourself 1 point if your fireplace does not touch your tree. That's a fire hazard. We have a few firemen with us tonight. So if your fireplace does not touch your tree, give yourself 1 point. All right, now here's the tricky part. If you drew something decorative on your stocking, if you drew like a little pattern, a little design, I want you to give yourself a point. Okay? And finally, if your present is under your tree, I want you to give yourself 2 points. All right, did you add it all up? Now, without the Christmas ornaments, the maximum that you can get is 10 points. So I'm wondering, the ornaments are a wild card. I'm wondering, is there anyone here tonight you got 20 points on your drawing? Is there anybody you have 20 points? All right, nobody with 20 points. Anybody with 18 points? 18 points? Anybody with 16 points? 16 points. Stand up right there, Philip Antunes. Ben, come help me out. Somebody, and Anita has 16 points. All right, Caleb, come help me out. Take that over to Grasshopper. All right, take that to Mrs. Tilly. All right, 16, what was that? 16 or 14 points? That was 16 points. All right, anybody 14 points? Anybody have 14 points? Oh, we got two, and I got one card left. So let's see. The Antunes family already has one. So Caleb, take that right back there. All right, everybody, give yourself a big hand, would you? Oh, wait a minute. Did I get it wrong? Who has the 14 points? Is this fake news? All right, take it over there, Caleb. First person to put your hand up, you get the Starbucks card, all right? There you go. No. Take it right back there. All right. Everybody give yourself a big hand this evening. Now, how on earth does this help us to understand the meaning of Christmas? Well, maybe we could think about it like this. In the beginning, God drew a perfect picture. John wrote, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Paul wrote, in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Within himself, God drew the vast universe with pulsating stars and with whirling galaxies. Within the expanse of the universe, God set a shimmering blue and green marble called Earth. You know, mankind has scanned the heavens for centuries. Now we scan it with the help of the Hubble telescope. We can look further into space than we could ever see before, and still, we have never found anything out there that even remotely resembles the Earth. We've never discovered another planet with life on it, or another planet that's even suitable for life. God shaped this Earth with mountains and oceans, with forests and rivers, with prairies and with lakes. And God filled all of these with plants and animals and fish and with birds. And then for his grand finale, God created men and women. And it was all very good. It got better after the women came along. God made a perfect picture. And then God gave us the power to alter his picture. John says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. He is the true light that gives light to every person. Anyone remember the old children's book, Harold and the Purple Crayon? I guess you have to be of a certain age to remember Harold. Harold is a 4-year-old boy who has a purple crayon that enables him to add whatever he wants to his world simply by drawing it. Harold wants to go for a walk in the moonlight, but the moon isn't out, so he draws a moon. And he has nowhere to walk, so he draws a path, and so begins a night of adventures. God created mankind, and he handed us each a purple crayon, if you will. God created us with a free will. He created us with the light of human consciousness. There is nothing else in all of creation that is like us. And he created us with a moral conscience. Everything else in all of creation is regulated by natural law. Every other living creature is governed by instinct that God programmed inside of those creatures. But humans are uniquely special in creation. We're made in the image of God. God gave us the ability to think and emote and communicate and to make moral choices. And God gave us the power to create more people, each with his or her own purple crayon. God made a perfect picture. He gave us the ability to alter that picture. And what did we do? Through disobedience, we messed up the picture. John says the world was plunged into darkness. The serpent beguiled Adam and Eve and convinced them to use their purple crayons to choose disobedience to God. The serpent convinced them that they could create a better picture on their own without God. The serpent told them they could start with a new blank page and create whatever kind of life they wanted for themselves. The serpent told them they could be their own art directors. They could be masters in their own right. Their disobedience separated them from God and plunged the whole human race into the darkness of spiritual blindness. We all started drawing blindly with our purple crayons, like trying to draw a picture on top of your head. Everything became off kilter. Everything became out of proportion. Everything became unrecognizable and ugly. We became insecure and defensive, started blaming each other. We became isolated, perpetually dissatisfied. We became selfish, we became obsessive, we became self-medicators, envious, quarrelsome, even violent. The image of God inside of us was badly marred. The beautiful picture that God made, we have made far less beautiful. God made a perfect picture. He gave us the power to alter the picture. Through disobedience, we messed up the picture. So God did what only God could do. God himself entered into the picture. John wrote, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That brings us to Christmas. The reason that we're gathered here this evening, the incarnation. God became human flesh. Everyone, take your paper plate again and look at it. Here's what I want you to do. This picture that you made, I want you to jump into it right now. Go ahead. I want you to don't bang it with your hand. Go into the picture. Okay, I'm waiting. Why aren't you doing it? Miss Lada, why aren't you going into your picture? Why aren't you? You can't get in there? Why can't you get in there? The reason you can't get in there is because only God could do something like that. You see, only God could draw a picture and then enter into it himself. Only God could make something and then actually become a part of what he made. That's why Christmas is such a big deal. It's the mystery of the incarnation. Without ceasing to be God in any regard, God became a man. Without ceasing to be eternal, God entered into the boundaries of time and of space, as if we three-dimensional beings could enter into the one-dimensional picture on this plate. Without ceasing to be the sustainer of all things, God became a creature in the world he himself created. Without ceasing to be what he always was, God became something that he previously was not. Paul says it's a great mystery. And why did God do it? God did it to fix the picture from the inside out. John said, for God so loved this world that he sent his only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, that kind of begs the question, why couldn't God fix the picture from heaven? Why couldn't God just fix the picture from where he was, from the outside? Well, see, that brings us to the problem of the purple crayons. God gave us each a free will to make good or bad moral choices. He gave us each the power to either obey him or to disobey him. And he gave us the ability to make more people with purple crayons. A man with a purple crayon, Adam, started this whole mess. And so it required another man with a purple crayon to fix the mess. But no ordinary man or woman could do it. Not even the heroes of the faith in the Bible could do it. Noah couldn't do it. Abraham, Moses, Joshua, they couldn't do it. Miriam, Deborah, Esther, David, Solomon, none of them could do it. No one, not one of us was capable of coloring inside of God's lines. None of us was capable of perfect obedience to God. Every last one of us has taken our purple crayon and we have made a big, fat mess. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've misused our crayons in every way. So God did what had to be done and what only God could do. God became a man. Jesus lived a life of perfect obedience. And then he offered his innocent blood in our place on the cross. You see, it's not really possible to grasp the meaning of the Christmas story without fast-forwarding to the Easter story. The reason that God entered into the picture was to pay the penalty for the sins of the world with his innocent blood on the cross. I'm indebted to Pastor Nick for passing along this poem to me. It's called The Maker of the Universe by William Frederick Pitt. The maker of the universe, as man, for man, was made a curse. The claims of the law which he had made, unto the uttermost he paid. His holy fingers made the bough which grew the thorns that pierced his brow. The nails that pierced his sacred hands were mined in secret places that he designed. He made the forest whence there sprung the tree on which his body hung. He died upon a cross of wood, yet made the hill on which it stood. The sky that darkened o'er his head, by him above the earth was spread. The sun that hid from him its face, by his decree was hung in space. The spear which spilled his precious blood was tempered in the fires of God. The grave in which his form was laid was hewn in rocks his hands had made. The throne on which he now appears was his from everlasting years, but now a new glory crowns his brow, and every knee to him shall bow. Looking around the mess in the world tonight, you might wonder, how has his coming fixed anything? Well, the way that God fixes the picture from the inside out is by fixing people one by one. See, there's a moment of believing on Jesus. There's a moment of believing on his incarnation. There's a moment of believing on his sinless life. There's a moment of believing on his death in our place. There's a moment of believing on his resurrection on the third day. A spark of faith sent by God himself ignites inside of our heart. It's the gift of saving faith. In that moment of believing, our sins are placed upon Christ on the cross, and Christ's innocence is placed upon us. Jesus said something so radical happens inside of us, it's like being born all over again. And then God sets to work fixing our picture. God sets to work turning our mess into something beautiful and something useful. John said he came to his own, and his own received him not, yet to those who did receive him, he gave the power to become sons and daughters of God. How has his coming fixed the picture? He fixes people one by one, and one day Jesus will come and fix this whole thing once and for all. One day Jesus is coming to make the picture perfect again, and we'll live with him forever in the perfection of his beautiful love. How can a paper plate and a crayon help us to understand the meaning of Christmas? God made a perfect picture. He gave us the power to alter his picture, and boy, did we mess it up. So God did what only God could do. He entered into this picture, and he fixes us from the inside out. And that, Charlie Brown, is the meaning of Christmas.